debate removing voters from voter rolls and create independent redistricting commissions to draw new district lines. All Democrats, including Joe Manchin, support another election bill named after the late Representative John Lewis to restore parts of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. But House Speaker Nancy Pelosi of California said that particular bill won't be ready until the fall. "We're really making headway to get all 50 Democrats on a voting rights bill," Democratic Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia told reporters on Capitol Hill after Thursday's meeting. "There's the making there for a very, very substantive bill that can combine all 50 Democrats." Joe Manchin, the only Democrat not to co-sponsor the voting bill, announced his formal opposition to the legislation earlier this month, writing in an opinion editorial that he couldn't support a bill only backed by one party. His criticism highlighted the grim reality Democrats often face in a divided 50-50 Senate they barely control. Any one objector in the party can threaten the party's top priorities. His scaled-back counteroffer, however, ultimately didn't convert any Republicans, but garnered praise from some Democrats and voting rights activists, namely former Georgia gubernatorial nominee Stacey Abrams. Republicans are firmly opposed to both Democratic versions of voting reforms, likening them to a federal takeover of state-run elections. At a Thursday, 17th of June, press conference, they reaffirmed their opposition to any federal legislation, indicating that a filibuster on Tuesday is all but guaranteed. "I actually think when Stacey Abrams immediately endorsed Senator Joe Manchin's proposal," GOP Senator Roy Blunt of Missouri said on Thursday, "it became the Stacey Abrams substitute, not the Joe Manchin substitute."
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Islamic Upbringing, where we discuss issues and topics related to the upbringing of our children, who are the future of ourselves and our communities. And to help us with our upbringing, we have Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi. Sayyid Abdullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're going to be the spiritual father of a lot of kids out there.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And thank you for having me. I don't want to be a spiritual father for anyone. As long as we can get the message across to parents and they can apply to their kids, then the aim of the program is done.
Thank you very much. Yes, we have a lot to learn. Thank you very much for giving us your time. So we're talking about the prerequisites required for us to be able to practice the methods for a proper Islamic upbringing. We said that first of all, you have to accept responsibility, that this is your responsibility. Second of all, you must fix your own problems so that they are not inherited by your children. And third, that you have to realize that ages 0 to 8, literally 0 to 8, are the most absolutely essential period of raising your children.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any more prerequisites?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Now there are a lot of prerequisites. Like I said, if we go to talk about the prerequisites, we're gonna be here forever. So we're trying to dive into the methods themselves, rather than having to go into the prerequisites. But I would mention one last thing, right? And then we could end it here. All right. One last thing is that the parents themselves, they need to be fully aware. They need to have awareness. And I think we mentioned that before as well. But they need to be aware of why they're teaching their kids. What's the purpose and what's the reason, what's the goal? You know, we have the hadith that says, the one who walks or travels without a guide is a lost soul or a lost cause. Right? So sometimes when we bring our kids, when we come to realize that I have a child, we don't understand why. We don't have an aim. We don't have a goal. Like, why should I, you know, make my child to be a better person? And why should I teach him this? And why should I teach him that? Sometimes that goal itself, we are not focused at. So we said, I think I remember in one of the episodes, we said we need to have in mind that the child is responsible from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we need to make sure that the child receives his destination in the same way that Allah has entrusted me and you with. So Allah gave me a piece of a white, pure cloth, and He wants that returned to Him the same way that He gave it to me, right? Therefore, I say, okay, my destination, my goal is to make sure I return the child back to his Lord. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. From God we came, and to God we will return. So I had to return that trust to Allah. So this is my aim, this is my goal. That if I fail in my responsibility, then I will be questioned. And I think I mentioned this hadith many, many times over and over, that the child on the day of judgment, or even as he grows up, becomes an adult, if he goes astray and, you know, he becomes a bad person, and on the day of judgment, they ask him to go to hellfire. The hadith says he will stand at the gate of hellfire and says, God, I want my father to come with me. I wouldn't be at the gate of hell if it wasn't for him. Why? Because such a parent, such a father, he had no aim. Like, you know, he's a child, he'll play, have fun, you know, we give him food, we shelter, he grows old, he marries, he has kids, and life moves on. It wasn't that simple, sure, but it's not that simple. There's more to it. There's as a father, I'm responsible. So I need to be very aware of my goal, of what I need to do with that child. Once I have that, then I can move on.
And a lot of fathers particularly think that their job in the family is to bring money to the house.
Exactly. That's wrong. As a father, we are required to support our families financially. But it does not mean we neglect.
That is just one of our duties.
Yeah, that's one of our duties. Doesn't mean we neglect the rest. Like, even now, like, not just we, a lot of men, sadly, and this is a problem we're having in the families, not only they neglect their children, but they neglect their wives as well. He goes to work, he comes back, he's too tired, he eats and he sleeps and he wakes up in the morning and goes back to work.
There's money in the drawer.
Yeah, and then when his wife argues with him and fights with him that you're not spending enough time, he's like, what am I supposed to do? I'm doing all the work here. If it wasn't for me, you guys wouldn't be... Well, yeah, sure. Yeah, this is your duty. This is your responsibility as a man to provide for your family. You're not doing your wife a favor. You're not doing your child a favor. It's your duty, God-given duty. You don't like it, take it up with God.
Okay.
But, so, like you said, it's one of your duties, which means you have others, like, you know, being nice to your wife, taking your wife out, taking the child out, raising the child. And obviously, like we said, it's a shared responsibility when it comes to upbringing your child. It's a shared responsibility between the father and the mother as well. So it's not only, because like I said, if the father goes to work, obviously the mother has to compensate, but it does not take the responsibility away from him. So they need to come together.
Okay, so I'm going to have to take a break now. Thank you very much for all of that explanation. It's very nice to hear it. And after the break, we're going to jump into the methods. Stay tuned.
When I was born, the first words that I had heard were the words of Allah being whispered through my ear. And as I felt Allah's presence in my soul, that day Islam took me in its fold.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Islamic Upbringing. We are with Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi. We've been talking about the prerequisites that we have to have in order to give our children a proper Islamic upbringing. We're now going to go through the methods one by one. We will be talking about all of these methods extensively.
This is a special coverage of a live event.
Well, dear listeners, here we interrupt the normal course of our program to have the live coverage of the first press conference of the President-elect of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Dr. Sayyid Ebrahim Raisi. Let's take a listen.
The press, audiovisual media, and news agencies participating in the first press conference of President-elect Raisi. I also wish to welcome President-elect Raisi, who has been elected by the people. I also wish to thank him for attending this press conference after his election as the President-elect. And I hope that we'll be able to attend more press conferences in the future. I also wish to greet our audiences who are watching this press conference via television channels and also the audiences listening to this press conference via radio. I also wish to congratulate you on the birth anniversary of Imam Reza, peace be upon him.
Let's
Allow me to start the press conference, and I wish to ask the president-elect to have his opening remarks, and later we will have questions, a Q&A session. There are representatives from 201 domestic and foreign media. President-elect Raisi, the floor is yours. In the name of God, greetings to you all. Salutations to the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad. Blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Salutations to Imam Reza, peace be upon him. I wish to congratulate you on the auspicious occasion of the birth anniversary of Imam Reza, peace be upon him. I also wish to congratulate you on the occasion of the Dignity Week. Wish to thank the media and the managers of the press, the media, the journalists, and representatives of all domestic and foreign media. We had the epic by the Iranian nation on June 18th, and that was in line with other epics created by this nation. And this is a manifestation of people's presence on the scene, and the important message conveyed by this participation by the people, a message that was conveyed to the world. This was a meaningful participation by the people, a massive turnout by the people. This participation took place despite the coronavirus pandemic, and this participation, a massive turnout, took place despite the enmity and also the psychological warfare launched by the Iranian nation's enemies. There was a massive turnout, and the people spent hours at the polling stations despite certain complaints by the people. Such a turnout had conveyed various messages. One message was the message of national unity and solidarity. It was a message for the necessity to make change in in people's livelihood and the economic condition. The people's message was a message for combating corruption, poverty, discrimination, and an administration of justice in all strata of the society. The message was a message of insisting on the revolutionary values, a message for continuing the path of the late Imam and the martyrs of the revolution, particularly our dear martyr, Lieutenant General Soleimani. Uh, This was a message of people's loyalty to the blood of martyrs and also a positive response to the call by the leader. This was a message for the for a popular administration, and all the authorities who are serving this government as people's servants. Such a message must be heard, and we have vowed with the people, and we should remain loyal to our promise, and that requires making utmost efforts in order to serve the people and eliminating the problems and resolving the problems. By trusting God and trusting our capacities, by trusting our human resources, particularly Iranian youths, and through reliance on our valuable capacities, God willing, we can make a change to the benefit of the people and in order to improve their livelihood. Speaking of our domestic policy and priorities in this government, I can refer to improvement of people's businesses, improving people's livelihood, and improving the condition within the government to promote the administrative system and reduce bureaucracy, because bureaucracy prevents development. So such a condition must be terminated, and we should have a sound and law-abiding administrative system with the participation of efficient personnel who seek to combat corruption. I do respect all the achievements by the governments after the triumph of the revolution. There's no doubt that great services have been provided in the past 40 years. There has been a great deal of efforts made, and these efforts were aimed at development in the country, covering various sectors. But despite all the efforts made by the past administrations, and despite all the efforts made so far, we have reached a point of excellence in certain areas, but in some other areas, due to mismanagement and lack of attention and inattention towards the country's capacities and also the efficient young manpower, we do have certain problems in those sectors, and we do experience some backwardness, particularly with respect to the administration of justice. That can be the pivot for development. In fact, and in order to have such a development, there's a need for administering justice in line with the second phase of the revolution. And speaking of the upstream documents comprising the Constitution and the policies approved by the establishment, and also the development plans, these will be taken into account. And we are going to have the seventh development plan In collaboration with the Expediency Council and the Parliament, we will follow that up. It is hoped that such measures would improve people's livelihood and inject hope amongst the people. And people's trust that has been somehow tarnished, we should actually restore that trust and confidence amongst the people and the youths, so much so that all would have the feeling that this government is a government that creates hope, is a government seeking to build confidence. It's not a government belonging to any particular faction. The government and also the managers across the country are the ones who love this land and are concerned about the people, are concerned about the revolution, and their concern is to improve people's livelihood, and they're going to be our colleagues across the country. Whoever seeks to improve the condition for the people and seeks the revolutionary ideals, he will be our colleagues across the country. Regarding foreign policy, the world must know that, bearing in mind people's massive turnout in the elections, that has changed the situation, and the world is witnessing this new situation. So the world should know that till today, the maximum pressure has failed, and they should reconsider their approach. And our nation has showed that it can resist these pressures, and they should, and the world must know that our foreign policy does not start from the JCPOA and will not be limited by the JCPOA. We're going to have interaction with the whole world. That's a general principle. It's an extensive and balanced interaction. That's what we're going to follow with respect to our foreign policy. And speaking of negotiations, if our national interests are guaranteed by those talks, such talks will be supported, but we will not just make people's livelihood becoming contingent upon talks. It's not talks for talks. We will not allow attritional talks, and in fact, every negotiation must bring about results. This is a result-oriented approach, and there must be some input. And such talks must be aimed at eliminating restrictions and sanctions, and also based on verification. So I now take your questions. I wish to thank President-elect Raisi for his opening remarks. I wish to ask every journalist to put forth only one question, and that's due to the shortage of time. I wish to ask IRIB journalists to raise the first question. I'm Shayan Mehr from IRIB. I wish to congratulate you on your election and people's trust towards you. I also wish to thank you on behalf of my colleagues for your on-time presence in this press conference. As you have emphasized in the course of the presidential campaign, the most important matter today is the matters related to people's livelihood. What is your top priority in this regard? And what will be the first order that you're going to issue in order to address this problem? On the first day of this administration, I will address all grounds that create corruption and rent, that all the administrative bodies must remove grounds that cause rent and corruption, and these mechanisms must be revised by the government. We will pay closer attention to job creation and also the housing sector. And the relevant authorities must have an active presence with the participation of the people. I wish to call on Euronews journalist to put forth the question.
Thank you so much for answering this question. How important will it be for your administration to revive the JCPOA? And what is your message to the United States and to European countries?
عرض سلام خدمت جناب آقای دکتر رئیسی خیلی متشکرم بابت این فرصتی که به من داده شد برای اینکه سوالم رو از حضور جناب عالی بپرسم. می‌خواستم بدونم که برای دولت جناب عالی برجام این توافق چقدر اهمیت داره و چقدر برای شما اهمیت داره که اون رو احیا بکنید و اینکه چه پیامی برای آمریکا و کشورهای اروپایی دارید. متشکرم.
برجام رو باید کشورهای اروپایی و امریکایی نگاه کنن نسبت بهش چگونه اقدام کردن.
The United States and European countries should consider how they have behaved towards the JCPOA. The Americans have violated the deal and the Europeans have failed to fulfill their commitments. Speaking of the United States, I wish to emphasize that the Americans had to lift all the sanctions, but they failed to do so, so the Americans must return and fulfill their commitments. And speaking of Europeans, they should not be pressured by U.S. policies, and the Europeans must fulfill their commitments based on the JCPOA. That's the Iranian nation's demand from you to fulfill the commitments, and that's people's demand from the popular government to restore the nation's rights, and this government will pursue to restore the nation's rights. I would like to call on journalists from Mehr News Agency. Greetings to you. On behalf of Mehr News Agency, I congratulate you on your election as the new president. In the course of the presidential campaign, you emphasized the necessity for production. The producers are saying that they are under pressure by the government, and that includes setting the price by the government and also the rent related to 4,200 tuman exchange rate. So in order to eliminate these hurdles, what are your plans in order to eliminate these hurdles? In order to remove the pressure on production, which is a pivotal issue, that was the slogan of the year, last year, this year, and this year, that's been economic prosperity and production. So that's going to be the basis of our activities within the government to contribute to the prosperity of production. Liquidity must be managed, and managing liquidity will be one of our priorities, and we have to actually direct liquidity towards production. So the mechanisms that can contribute to prosperity of production will be on the agenda. Right now, the entrepreneur and the producer complains about lack of shortage of liquidity, and all economists believe that the growth of liquidity has caused major problems in the country. We will make production attractive and we're going to remove the attraction of non-generative economic activities. This requires certain mechanisms. It cannot be realized through merely directives and so on. So the government must pursue clear plans in order to contribute to the prosperity of production. In order to make it attractive, we should reduce taxation. We should reduce it from 25% to 10%. And at the same time, we should enforce tax on non-generative activities such as gold, foreign currency, land purchase, and so on. So in this way, we will administer justice with respect to taxation. NBC journalists, please.
Mr. President, thank you for taking our questions. My question is, do all U.S. sanctions, including the Trump-era sanctions, need to be removed for the JCPOA to work? And are you going to keep the current negotiating team in place?
جناب آقای رئیسی، متشکرم از اینکه این فرصت رو به بنده دادید تا بتونم این سوال رو از جناب عالی بپرسم. سوال من این هستش که آیا برای اینکه برجام مؤثر واقع بشه و جواب بده، باید از نظر شما کل تحریم‌های آمریکا شامل تحریم‌های دوره ترامپ رفع بشن؟ و اینکه آیا جناب عالی قصد دارید که تیم فعلی مذاکره کننده هسته‌ای را حفظ کنید یا نه؟ متشکرم.
تیم مذاکره کننده هسته‌ای
Speaking of the nuclear negotiation team, they will do the follow up and they have provided us with reports. My foreign policy team is examining those reports. Regarding these sanctions, the U.S. is obligated to lift all the tyrannical sanctions imposed on the Iranian nation. That's been emphasized on several occasions. It's been emphasized by the current government. It will be pursued by the upcoming government. The sanctions must be lifted and it must be verified. That's going to be the pivot of our foreign policy. Now, the question is, how come, despite the fact that we have fulfilled our obligations and commitments, why aren't they fulfilling their commitments? The U.S. must be held accountable before the world. Why is the U.S. failing to fulfill its commitments? Why the Europe must be held accountable? Why is Europe cooperating with the U.S.? This has always been emphasized, that they should fulfill their commitments. That's the demand by the great nation of Iran, and we will seriously pursue this issue. Journalists from Sharq Daily, greetings to you, sir, and congratulations. Statistically speaking, are you aware of the ongoing condition in the country? Are you aware of the current economic condition? Normally, the presidents offer reports after 100 days, 100 days after taking office. Are you going to present us with such a report? The figures and the statistics are clear. There are official organs, such as Iran's Statistics Center, and also the bodies and organizations have their statistics, and there are organs such as the presidency that actually combines these figures, and the people and the experts and the elites, the media are aware of these figures. There may be some differences in figures, but the figures are not hidden, and the people must be aware of the condition that the new government is experiencing. The figures, the statistics, and the ongoing condition. That's a report for realizing the ongoing condition, and this will be presented to the media. And so we have to see what is the difference between the ongoing condition and what is favorable. So we'll try to bring this ongoing situation closer to a favorable status. And what the nation expects from the government is to fulfill its promises. And not just 100 days, but since the start of the government, all the officials must take steps in order to fulfill the promises. I'm in touch with the people, and I will keep in contact with the people every week, once a week or once a month. I consider this as a blessing, as a good ground for keeping in touch with the people, the media. This will be the opening press conference, and this press conference can be beneficial for the government and the media. The media act as a bridge between us and the people, and the media can address the concerns, and the government can put forth its views so that the people will be aware of the level of progress made. So we will take practical action, and I'm the servant of the people. I will inform the people about the rate of progress, and if there is any particular problem, we will inform the people. We will inform the people, and we will particularly inform the elite. Journalist from Al Jazeera Network, please.
Thank you for taking the action. There are sanctions against you. Human rights organizations say thousands were executed whilst you sat on a committee that oversaw those executions in 1988. On the day you were elected, Amnesty International said you should be investigated for crimes against humanity. Do you think that these issues will be difficult for you when you interact with world leaders, especially Western leaders?
And do you intend on visiting the West? Thank you.
تشکر میکنم از جناب علی به خاطر وقتی که به بنده داده شد. از الجزیره انگلیسی هستم و این سوال رو مطرح میکنم. جناب آقای رئیسی، تحریم های علیه جناب علی وجود دارد و همینطور اتهاماتی علیه شما از سوی برخی سازمان های حقوق بشری مطرح است. اخیراً سازمان عفو بین الملل اتهاماتی رو وارد کردن در خصوص نقش شما در برخی از اعدام ها. این مسئله چه تأثیری میتواند روی نحوه تعامل شما با دیگر رهبران کشورهای جهان داشته باشد، به ویژه کشورهای غربی، و اینکه آیا قصد دارید به کشورهای غربی سفر بکنید یا خیر؟ متشکرم.
من از ابتدای مسئولیت
always been defending people's rights. Human rights is the most pivotal point which I have followed in all my functions and responsibilities. Those who raise allegations, we should tell them that we are now in a standpoint of a claimant of human rights. All the measures I've taken during my time in office, they've always been in line with defending human rights. Those people who make any manipulations and disruptions in human rights and relevant issues, those who have embarked on Daesh-style moves and brought in security in the judiciary, and as a jurist, as a judge, I've always claimed the rights of human beings, and I've been standing in the position of defending human rights. Now today, those who are violating human rights in the world, they need to be held answerable as to how, before the world people's eyes, they are violating human rights. When a judge, when a jurist, or when a prosecutor has defended the people's rights, the security of the society, that person needs, his efforts need to be appreciated and even encouraged and awarded because he defended the people against the threats and aggression. He preserved the security. So that's a source of pride for me that as a prosecutor, wherever I was, I defended the people's rights, I defended their security, and I defended people's welfare, and I will. And today, I'm in my capacity as president, I'm duty-bound to protect human rights. No matter what tribe, what ethnic groups, what language they speak, whatever in the world they are, I'm duty-bound to defend human rights. What if today the people who are speaking of and claiming human rights, those people who created Daesh and other militants that have been wreaking havoc in the world, if those people are brought to justice, you should definitely know that the world will definitely move toward peace and tranquility, because those who are behind the rise of Daesh and such militants that have been killing the people, those who created such terrorist groups, if they are questioned and if they are interrogated, you should be rest assured that the world people will then see the face of tranquility and calm and friendship. Thank you very much. Let me now invite Jama Jam newspaper reporter for his question. Next reporter will be Rapley. Let me offer congratulations on the occasion of the birth anniversary of Imam Rza, peace be upon him. I would also congratulate you on your rightful choice. Hopefully in this term, on the back of your management, the issues and problems that people have faced will be tackled. Mr. Raisi, as you're informed, one of the preoccupations and concerns of those who care about the revolution is further complaints of the people regarding the performance of the authorities. And you see this among the underprivileged strata. They are actually the benefactors of the country and the revolution. So the challenge that we had in the previous election, it was that we had a lower turnout. Of course, with the you being picked as president, hope is inspired that on the back of your revolutionary performance, hope will be restored to society. Tell us specifically what plans you have for the revival of the social asset and creating further unity and solidarity in society. Well, as president, I consider myself as the one who serves the republic, be it those who have voted for me or those who voted for other candidates or anybody else who, for whatever reason, because of the COVID situation or for whatever reason, those who did not attend the polling stations. So I consider myself the one to serve all the Iranian nation, and I find myself duty-bound to safeguard and protect people's rights. So, regarding the reduction of social costs and the rise in social assets, I will take due measures. Now, whatever could contribute to a rise in social assets and whatever that could cut down on social costs, that's on the agenda of my popular government, hopefully. Now I invite reporter from Russia's Rapli. Hello, Mr. Raisi. I'm Hamedi from Rapli. I want to say, in case the sanctions are removed, Iran's request, if they are met, are you ready to meet with the U.S. president in order to address the issues between the two countries? No. Thank you. Now let me invite a respected reporter from Fars News Agency to ask his question. Next will be from CNN. I'm Samimi from Fars News Agency. Congratulations to you on behalf of my colleagues. We all wish you success. As you are informed, the capital of many people have been lost in the course of the stock exchange transactions. Well, there was a reference, if you could make, regarding the first action that you will take to inspire hope and to compensate for these losses. Well, regarding the stock exchange and capital market, we'll restore people's trust on the back of measures, including definitely the stock exchange will not be looked upon as it was like it, you know, piggy bank to make up for its budget deficit. So we'll attempt regarding stocks to provide guarantees to compensate for the losses made, those who have shares. We'll have oversight and supervisory bodies and activating such mechanisms for oversight mean that we have the development fund, the stabilization fund, they will be created, and that will stop some shocks that would end up in losses in the stock exchange market. And among the other actions that we are now planning, we have time until the government starts assuming power, they will also include further deepening of the stock exchange. The companies and firms that are standing behind the stock exchange, they are ready to offer their bonds and shares, will facilitate their work. There are companies that are ready. Well, they can bring further depth to the stock market, and on that way, compensation would make, especially for those who have small shares. Thank you. Time now for respected reporter from America's CNN and next is Press TV.
Well, sir, thank you much for taking our question. You've already told us how you feel about a direct meeting with President Biden, but would you be willing to talk to and negotiate with the Biden administration? Would your administration be willing to do that? What do you expect of the Biden administration? And how do you feel about the U.S. proposal for a possible expanded nuclear agreement that would also cover Iran's ballistic missiles and also regional issues as well? Thank you.
Salam daram khidmat janab aghay raisi. Khedim mutashakkaram ke in forsat be man dade shod. Soali ke matrah shod az taraf khabarnigar shabakeh CNN Amerika bud. Ishun goftan ke janab ali فرمودید که نظرتون در مورد مذاکره مستقیم ملاقات مستقیم با آقای بایدن چی هست اما سوال من این هستش که کلن نظرتون در مورد این که با دولت آقای بایدن مذاکره بکنی چی هست و اینکه چه انتظاراتی از دولت آقای بایدن دارید و اینکه چه نظری دارید در خصوص پیشنهاد آقای بایدن در مورد اینکه یک توافق جامع تری با ایران انجام بشه که پوشش بده مسائل دیگری رو مثل برنامه موشکی بالستیک ایران رو و همچنین مسائل منطقه‌ای رو. ممنون.
Well, I'm repeating the previous one. Why shouldn't Mr. Biden stick to the commitment that the previous administration, Mr. Biden, regarding the commitments that has been created for the U.S. government, Mr. Biden is not answerable. So I'm repeating that question. So I'm seriously proposing to the U.S. administration that immediately they should stick to their commitments and abide by their commitments. They should remove all the sanctions, and they should prove that by lifting all the sanctions, they are honest. The people of Iran do not have a good memory of the Iran nuclear deal, JCPOA, because not much has been achieved as it is stipulated in the deal. What's been mentioned in the deal, Iranian people have not felt anything in their lives. So, and that was because Americans broke their promise, and the Europeans also did not make good on their commitments. So we are stressing that the U.S. administration, when it comes to its commitment within this deal, the U.S. needs to adhere to that and act accordingly. Regional issues or ballistic issues are not negotiable. What has been already negotiated, what has been already agreed upon, the contract is signed, you're committed to that, they haven't acted on that. How could they ever enter new and discuss new topics? Press TV reporter could ask his question, and next will be a reporter from France's AFP. Hello, Mr. Raisi. Congratulations on your choice as president. I want to ask almost the same question, the same lines regarding the future of the JCPOA and the Vienna talks. It's kind of different. If you could please provide us with some more details. Given the U.S. insistence regarding not removing all the sanctions and the destruction of advanced centrifuges in Iran, what's your policy for the future path toward revival of JCPOA and forcing the U.S. to remove the sanctions? Thank you. Well, I just explained that Iran's foreign policy that has been announced several times is that we have a peaceful nuclear program and it's in line with the benefits that this know-how brings you in different areas, agriculture and medicine, you know what. Iran's measures so far have been among the actions on the basis of the announcement of international organizations. It's been within all the norms and regulations. So I'm again putting this question. Despite all these measures by Iran, as they have reported themselves, international bodies, that we have been in compliance, these measures have been within the regulations. So why should they have hurdles and impediments in front of us. And as they have repeatedly admitted in Naqala that Iran's peaceful, Iran's nuclear activities have faced no problems so far.